Central Valley. It's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live here at Fashion Furniture, the greatest furniture store, seriously, in at least the state of California.
If maybe, not the world.
Maybe the world.
Not the world.
I mean, we haven't taken an RV out to go drive around the country yet, but I'm going to take my chances right here. Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone, they have you covered. We've talked about it a million times. If they don't have it,
you don't need it.
Yes, they have your financing covered. If you have problems, I mean, they'll come in and take care of you. They'll measure your room. The professionals here, they've been around since 1960. Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. The recliners are going crazy, Matt.
They are. And how about the consulting and the sales team and the people that are here to lend support on these type decisions for the beautification of your house? I mean, they're so seasoned. They've been doing it forever. You always know you have a successful operation when you come to work and it's the same faces daily that you see. A lot of loyalty, a lot of family here at Fashion Furniture.
We've been doing this show almost 15 years now, and I'm telling you, the people are still here. You nailed it. You're spot on.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the bag meter, you've been at it for many, many years, and you are the leader, the local high school, the local sports king, the bag meter. Welcome. Oh. Congratulations on your Hall of Fame status and everything that goes along with it. Your website development is superb. Very proud to work alongside you. I do disagree with you a lot of the times. But the people need to know that the bag meter, you're out there on the streets banging it every single day, whether we're on radio doing a high school game or whether you're reporting with all those reporters you've got all over the valley canvassing every nook and cranny. We're not just talking about the big sports right now, basketball, but soccer, softball, track and field. I'm a part of that side of our reporting team. We're hitting the streets to bring you all the best in local entertainment.
Well, Matt, thank you so much. You know you're a huge part of it, and that's just why we have the best show running, because we do differ. We don't agree on everything. People like the bantering. They like to know, hey, what did Matt say? Well, Bagmeter disagreed with him. They like the, sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. So that's just how, that's what we do. We are at Selling Arena. And I first come on down to the beautiful Fashion Furniture Studios of 940 ESPN. Have a sandwich thanks to Firehouse Subs.
Firehouse Subs, giving back to the community, giving back to our local sports community, and also, of course, they always donate money back to first responders. When you see those fire trucks arrive on a scene and they need special equipment to get the job done, there's companies like Firehouse Subs that helps make that happen.
Well, we're going to have a Madera South Day here at 940 ESPN.
Seemingly, it's not really all Madera South. It's just every now and then the perfect storm comes together, where you have an ability to have a champion soccer club like the boys right now from Madera South. Then you have a special, special presentation going on with the Laborers International Union of North America, which is presenting through the County Office of Education Superintendent Jim Yovino's office. Anthony Ayerza and Efren Gies are working in the CTE, which is Career Technical Development, which they are big a part of. And we stumbled upon this story of Zachary Salas, the senior at Madera South, who played on the football team. We'll be getting into that story. And then, of course, how many times in life do you stumble upon a true three-sports star, a true young phenom who excels at the highest level in all three sports that they entertain? Well, we've got a freshman, Tate Grantham, who's a champion football player, a champion wrestler, and a champion track and field star on the rise. That story we'll be bringing to you today also.
You know, I think Jim Yovino, Anthony Ayerza, and Efren Gazar are on to something, because yesterday the Bullard School called me in later in the afternoon, and they're interviewing seniors, okay, so to get a job interview prepared.
Yes.
So we had a little panel of people, and we were talking, and I did seven people, and six out of seven all – do not want to go to college. They want to be a welder. They want to do electrician. They want to go now. They want to be in mechanics. And I'm thinking, this could be the new world. Maybe high schools need to start preparing kids. Maybe they don't want to go to history class. They're bored. They want to get going right after school. And do you want to spend 4 years of your college, spend all that money, and come out? Are you really prepared for the next level? I don't know, but they're on to something.
No, statistical numbers are. This idea that started probably years ago in education, that all of our graduates must be college ready. College. Well, you know what? College is great. Don't get me wrong. That's a pathway for a lot of great
people. You need your education on anything you
do. But how about the idea of, which I run into a lot at the schools that I've coached at, from Edison to Madera South to my young time spent in San Jose, my coaching in Chula Vista, California. A lot of young kids, boys and girls, they need to go get a job. They need to go get employed. They need to start their career right after high school. It's just the necessity. The family needs them to start their career. What happens is a lot of youngsters start in great jobs, but they're getting paid minimum wage or just moving along slow snail's pace in their career development. But when you have a group like the Laborers Union here in California and all over America, the world, that offers benefits, that offers a more than fair pay, that offers you an extreme ability to advance you and your family with medical care and pension and retirement plans, that's all I need to know. And the office with Anthony Arirza, Efren Gizar, the great work that Jim Uvino does, and everybody all over the county, from Madera County, Fresno County, Tulare County, I think that the educational dynamic is changing. We need to prepare our young men and women to get ready for the real world. And sometimes it doesn't match going to Cal Berkeley or to USC or going off to even junior college. Sometimes it's time to start your career. And what a better way to introduce that, and what you brought up in Pag Meter, which you started thinking about, was we have National Signing Day for all these high school athletics. Why don't we have a National Signing Day for people like Zachary Salas, we'll get a chance to talk about later, who are going to be entering into the workforce. But the lessons he learned on the playing field, the lessons these young kids learn from their coaches and their teachers, can translate that into the real world as they start their career. And that's what this day is all about.
Yeah, in fact, yesterday, Nick Caglia, great guy, business. And when the young gentleman mentioned, I want to be a welder, he's like, I'll hire you now. I can't get enough welders.
Oh, there's a shortage. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Is there a shortage of skilled workers, labor force, workers in all the fields you're talking about? There's a shortage. And our country depends, absolutely depends, on those type of people.
Mm-hmm.
So God bless the Laborers Union. God bless anyone who is trying to better our country and get skilled youngsters on a track to be lead a very successful life as a parent, as a father, and all that.
Yeah, so true, and we're going to talk about that today. But we were at Selden Arena. A lot of people know we were there. We had 11,000 plus.
Yes.
And if you're an old Red Wave guy and gal, you missed out because it was a special weekend. There's nothing like Selden Arena, even though we're 2 years away from possibly rethinking this thing, because I don't know if the city of Fresno decided, you know, we're just not going to fix things. I don't know, Matt, but we're going to talk about that as well. But you and I got to broadcast some games. My email's been blowing up all week. And let's start with the Clovis West Bowl game.
Let's start with Chris Terrence, the legend, walks into the studio. Look at Chris.
That's what he's doing.
He's working a commercial right now. Look at him. That's good stuff.
So let's start with the Selden Arena, the big Division I game with Clovis West and Bullard. And my email blew up.
The boys
all the Bullard Nation. Dante Shawsray goes 3.8 seconds, coast to coast, lays it in. But I got all these videos. Bag meter! It showed 0-0-0 on the clock, and that should have been illegal. Bullard should have won. And I'm trying to tell everyone, if you're listening, it's not the clock. It's the horn. Okay, so a referee can't watch the clock and the basket at the same time. Can't do it. It's impossible. They listen to the horn.
Right.
The horn. I got it on video. He laid it. The ball's off. The horn goes off. The ball goes in.
Yeah.
Bullard, you lost a heartbreaker. But, again, I thought Bullard didn't play well those last overtime games. He had a shot to win it.
You've been saying all year long, I love, I be honest, I was really in the corner for the Bullard Knights from a standpoint for the CMAC conference to continue that domination between Central Unified and the CMAC and Fresno Unified in the world of basketball. They've had a stranglehold on that championship for quite a while. Fully recognizing the power of what Clovis West brought to the party with an outstanding basketball team, I felt with the addition of Milton Burnett and the way that Bullard was beginning to gel, I thought it was their game to lose. And you kept saying all year long, which actually probably got criticized a lot for it, that Bullard, if they could ever learn how to play in a, late in the second half, they might be onto something. Learn how to finish. Bullard didn't finish the game when they had the game to be won. They kind of squandered an opportunity to run the clock down to the bare bones, go to the free throw line with an obvious they'd have to foul, but they gave the ball back.
They didn't do it.
And Clovis West had an opportunity, and he did go court length the court in 3.8 seconds because regardless, I agree, it was so close that you'd have to go to the NBA officials' replay center and still
the ball was off,
still not figure out whether it was good or not. It was that close.
It was good.
Yeah.
Okay, the video showed the ball was out, and I got it.
Yeah.
Game over. Yeah. But, again, and a lot of people don't realize it's the horn and not the clock because you can't look at both. Once it goes 0-0-0, the horn goes off. So you got that little split. But,
well, there is a delay in the horn and the 0-0-0. I question, quite frankly, I saw the same still shots that you saw.
No, I had video.
And I know you did. You had video, but it didn't show the clock. It heard the horn.
Yeah.
It didn't focus. Your video did not focus on the 0-0-0 as well. As the back,
I focused on the horn.
Yeah, as the back shot showed no time, ball just out of the fingertips or on the fingertips of Chachere. But the problem with that is I'm not so certain that the clock was even running. That was my question. I remember taking a glance as Chachere went down the court, and all I saw was zeros on the clock already. So I didn't follow the 3.8, 3.5, 3.4, 3. I didn't follow the clock. It looked zeros to me by the time he was at half court. So I need to see a complete video showing the clock from the inception of the play that began. Either way, it's a defining moment.
Yeah.
It's a Tyus Edney, UCLA going the full length of the court to propel themselves into the next step of the playoffs. It was a Danny Ainge, BYU going one end of the court to the other, at the buzzer. What a great play. And, oh, by the way, Vance Wahlberg, give the man credit. We've asked on the postgame wrap-up. Oh, yeah, that's play number 1,000. We run that at practice. That's what we went with. The players already, they worked that. They worked that. They deserve to win.
Great, yeah. In the paint forever, laid it in, and Clovis West wins it. Now, we know Bullard does not finish well. They're the greatest 28-minute team. I got to watch them play Sacred Heart the other night in the state playoffs.
Yeah.
They didn't show up for 28 minutes. They had the Celent Arena hangover. They played horrible for 3.5 quarters, and they said, you know what, we could do this because Sacred Heart is not that good of a team. They're young. They're small. I don't think people realize how good Bullard is, how much talent they have,
yes.
Especially with Milton Barnett showing up.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? They're just as good as when it comes to talent, San Joaquin Memorial right there, talent wise. But I don't know what it is. They're missing that piece of ingredients.
Well, when you look at the depth of a program, a team, I think. Am I missing it? Maybe. They have every box is checked. Length, shooters, dribble drive penetration mode that they have all written all over the team, coaching. They have everything covered. I just think that.
What are they missing?
I really, truly believe that certain team chemistry things, certain ways that allow you to be where Clovis West is at, that magical little potion that no one can ever put their finger on. That intangible asset that the championship teams possess, it's a mystery. Clearly, Bullard didn't have that. They didn't have it early in the year when they were struggling, and at the end of the year it started coming together, but it never really totally came together.
Yeah, the other night, before we do take a break, is I think Bullard gets in his habit where they play seniors, where they put in the time, but a couple people had a horrible night, and they still did not play the young guys who were on fire. Let's put the senior in who's struggling because he's putting in his time. And I think that was a huge factor. Let's take a break. We'll talk about Celent Arena. We got a lot to talk about.
Big
all
show.
The other games. The state playoff seedings. I got questions on that too, Matt. We'll take a break. You're listening to The Rise Show.
And be tuned in because wrestling. We'll talk a little wrestling too. Another great time here at The Rise. We'll be back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. This is your Rice Show. We appreciate you hanging around with us and making us the number one local sports show there is. Matt, we got so many great local sponsors. Fresno Ag wants to be a part of our show now. We've got just, it keeps going and going and going.
Well, I think they feel, as we do, the importance of making sure that we take care of home base, number one. We don't get outside the box too much. You and I will talk national a little bit, but we got to take care of our local student athletes, primarily from Modesto down to Bakersfield, now to the coast, San Luis Obispo. We have to take care of that group, and if we do that, everyone's happy.
Yeah.
That drives the economy, that drives everything, is keeping it local and keeping everybody on the same page.
You know, some people, they don't follow a lot of teams here in the media world. You just mentioned, I get more emails now from Merced area going, yeah, hey, will you guys start following us and talk about us? I'm like, well, we're going to definitely try because it's starting to grow. So we're past 120 high schools.
Yeah.
We're at 140 maybe now. So, yeah. I mean, this is what's going on here. The media world is dying, Matt, and you and I just keep getting bigger and bigger. I love it.
When you see the event, Celent Arena, for the Boys and Girls Basketball Championships, you really start to feel the power of what the world of high school athletics brings to our valley, not just from business and commerce, but the true power of the type of joy that games and the athletic contest brings to our communities.
No question about it. Let's talk about Celent Arena. We had almost 12,000 people.
Yep.
2 days, which is, I'm trying to always tell the Red Wave out there, if you ever want to see what it used to be like, you got to get to Celent Arena. Now, Celent Arena is falling apart. We do know that the city of Fresno said, we're not going to fix this, the big video scoreboard. We got 2 years left in this contract. Maybe it's time we look at Save Mart Center. We got skyboxes. We can rent those out. With the kids, in your mind, because you're around kids a lot, so am I, but my question to you, would the kids like to play at State Mart Center where Fresno State is playing? I mean, we're going to have baseball across the street at Biden. We got softball.
Yeah.
We got water polo all at Fresno State. Should we just go to State Mart Center now?
Why not? We know that the game, the people and the organizers have put the Road to Celent Arena together are absolutely dialed in now. I mean, the plan goes without a hitch. See, the logistics of putting those type of events together, the logistics of what they do in the California State Meet for wrestling, for track and field, the big venue sports, and, of course, basketball. And football, by the way, we can talk about that later in the show, but it's coming to a central arena. It looks like eventually it will happen. Putting that together, it takes time. They've done that. They're ready for a big market arena like the Save Mart Center, I believe, because, number one, they'll break all attendance records probably that Save Mart Center for athletic events has probably put together in that short Friday, Saturday evening, day and night event. So I think we're ready for that, yes.
No question about it. Let's talk a little Celent Arena. What were your – I'm throwing you on the ledge right here, but some of your highlights, because we got to do the Clovis West crushing of Clovis North. I think Clovis North thought they had a shot, but I think Clovis
well,
West
that was
out-prepared them.
That was not – I can't use the term highlight, but that was certainly an experience that warrants major discussion because the blowout in that game, you can call what you want, the redo of the last game they played together, the vengeance game, that game was such – a lopsided victory for Clovis West that it certainly, to me, highlighted. You call them highlights. If you're at Clovis North, that's not a highlight. But that certainly highlighted the tournament for me. No one saw that one coming. I expected a game. Because the night before, San Joaquin Memorial's basketball program totally dismantled San Luis Obispo. I did see that one coming, as you did, and you got everybody upset because you put a point spread down that was absolutely laughable. But as it turned out, you weren't even close with your 18-point spread. So the highlight of the game was the double overtime victory for Clovis West. There's so many great games that went on, but for the basketball side of things, to me, that was a highlight. That game lived up finally to the heavyweight status championship that they billed it as being. Back and forth, great effort on both sides. Too bad there had to be one winner. And to get Clovis West, quite frankly, back on track, because they've been struggling. They haven't been putting, you know, the girls are just out of the world. They've won so many.
They're on a zone now.
But to get the boys back at Clovis West, back into that little area that they haven't been in a while, was probably the highlight, at least for me as a broadcaster of the game.
Then, of course, Clovis West, the number one seed in the open division for the girls. I got to watch them last night against Redondo Union. Redondo Union had a 20-point lead at the half.
Yeah.
And I said, I know Clovis West isn't mad at the pag meter now, but I said, live by the three, die by the three. And I'll stick on that statement, because in the first half, they were 1 of 8 from the three-point line. There was no movement. Clovis West looked slow. They were shooting three. They couldn't make it. That was their game. They couldn't make a free throw. Yes, Clovis West, be mad at me all you want, but that's the truth. Second half, they went pressure because Redondo Union only played 6 girls. They wore them down, come back and win. They started playing their game. But if you're going to – that's what they did in the first half, Matt. We saw them. They're not the fastest team in the world, Clovis West. They don't create their own shots. Redondo Union was very aggressive.
Yeah.
And that's the first defense, because I was sitting in the stands.
Yeah.
Clovis West Nation was not happy with some of the calls. I thought the referees were outstanding. Physical.
Yeah.
They played physical, and that's what you got to do against a team like Clovis West.
As they move up in pedigree, you start finding teams that can defend. The athleticism level goes up in the girls' game. But, by the way, you're talking about highlights. I have to say, also, it was refreshing to watch Coach Craig Campbell of Clovis West work. From our broadcast position at Sellen Arena, right next to his bench, I got to see and witness the hardest working coach in show business go at it for the entire game, and have his team respond the way they do. Very, very good to watch. The total control that he has over the team and what a team they are together, that's a key element.
Yeah, when we saw in Clovis North on the girls' side, when Savannah Tucker, I think, might be the second best player in the Valley,
yeah,
that's how good she is,
yeah,
limping around. It, game out. Game's over for
Clovis.
Yeah,
she was on one leg. Never really got the full details of the injury, but to me it looked thigh to upper region, which would be your hip flexor to your hip area. Without the ability to move that leg, her whole game was just taken away from
Next
her.
Next year, watch out, Clovis.
Just a junior. Yes.
They're all coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
How good is that team going to be?
Very good. Very
good.
Some
of the other ones, like we said, we saw Memorial crush San Luis Obispo on the boys' side. Bakersfield, girls, back-to-back Division II champs. I'm probably trying to move them in Division I. You go down the list in Division V boys, Liberty Madera Ranchos took care of business.
Yeah.
Foothill, which it's just weird about the state, Matt. So Foothill wins the Division IV section championship. So we get the state rankings. They beat Bakersfield Christian. But they put Bakersfield Christian in Division III, Foothill in Division V. So I think, like Walter was saying, they already have their own little.
Yeah.
But I think they took care of what the CIF thinks, what divisions we should be in.
I think the division place worked out really well. I think Emmanuel got a very favorable position in the boys' side.
Division III.
And
same with Dinuba. But Dinuba.
Yes.
Got a 2 seed.
Yes.
In Division IV.
Yeah.
Thank
you for bringing that one up. That was the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
So I think it all works out at the end of the day. No one's ever going to be perfect. The matchups aren't always going to be right. But I think it's worked out very well for the Central Section.
Now, we did forget a couple teams, and I don't know what happened, but in the girls' side, Sierra Chieftains, who played Division III, Tulare Union plays Division III, were left off. So the only place they could put them was in Division V.
Yes.
So if one of those two teams do not win at all in Division V, in fact, Sierra beat Tulare Union the other night. So Sierra will play Kalinga tonight. So Division V is pretty loaded because Carruthers is sitting there too. They're a very good team. So way to go to all the teams that are still in the state playoffs. Keep it going. And we'll see how that all goes. Madera South boys soccer, one of the few teams left.
Well, we'll talk about later.
Along with Foothill.
Madera South is up in San Francisco, taking University High San Francisco on this evening.
Now, is that a private professional high school?
Yes.
Okay.
But up there, as our good friend Walter Jackson was saying, the Oakland section in the San Francisco area, that section, not a lot of that type stuff going on, where what you see in some of the other sections around California. So I wouldn't characterize it as that. No, I wouldn't. But we also will be speaking at, after 12:30 now, the Masters Wrestling Championship, state championships. And we'll be visiting with Tate Grantham, who is a freshman sensation, absolutely a throwback to the era that maybe you and I grew up in, where you can be very, very spectacular in three sports. You know, what happened to the great old three-sport athlete? Well, they're still alive and kicking, and Tate Grantham is proof positive as a freshman to being a state qualifier, state wrestler, great showing as a freshman in the 162 weight class. And then as you look into his on-field performance in football as a freshman, virtually unstoppable with the ball in his hands. And, oh, by the way, we talked about Alec Gamboa at Madera. Baseball, wrestling, football, that's a weird, odd combination. I don't think you're going to see many wrestlers who can run on the field of track and jump as far on, in the field events as Tate Grantham. Very peculiar set of perfect storm coming together for an athlete who can excel at football, wrestling, and track and field. We'll be visiting with him.
Another story that we didn't really talk about, but your former Edison Tiger, who was seated 16th in the wrestling from Edison,
yes,
Kobana Watson.
Yes, yeah, Kobana Watson.
Kobana Watson.
Kobana Watson upset the number one seed right out the gate.
Hello?
I will tell you, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk wrestling when we come back, and football and track and field, but Kobana got a great – I looked at the bracket. He had a great bracket because I was not impressed with the wrestler that they had as the potential champion. I watched on YouTube. I like to watch these matches. And I never was really impressed. Bellarmine Prep, San Jose, nice kid, great student athlete. But he didn't show
But
me.
Come on, Cabana is a part-time wrestler. He just does it for fun.
Well,
he's not
the summer,
serious yet.
The summer this
That's
last
how
year,
good of a talent he is.
He is, but he spent a lot of time in the summer
okay.
at out
yeah,
of state.
Yeah, these kids are going 12 months out of the year, 7 days
no doubt.
A week.
No Cabana, doubt. No
you
doubt.
Know, Cabana just shows up and goes, oh, who am I wrestling? That guy? Okay, good luck. That's
well,
how talented this guy
he is.
It's all between the ears.
He's
if
a
he
beast.
Works hard,
he's a beast.
He's a beast.
He's
if he doesn't want to work hard.
He's the same guy that took my football player and airmailed with a back suplex, illegal move, got thrown out of the game. He has just natural.
All I'm saying,
strength.
Matt, it's all between the ears now for Cabana Watson. If he wants it, he could play in the next level on Sundays.
That's right.
If he doesn't want to work hard, then, hey, Cabana, it is. It's all about the heart.
Yep.
So best of luck to you. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rise Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader. We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. Can you hear me okay, Matt?
Not really, but no. I can see. You're fine.
Okay, good.
Move on.
It's the Pag Meter. It's Matt Johnson here at the greatest furniture store on the planet. It is coming to springtime, so why not get the house ready? Eventually, we're going to have 75-degree weather, and then it's going to go to 94 2 weeks overnight. That's how it goes.
Absolutely. And where's the owner at? One of our guests, I talked with the mother of our next guest who we'll introduce here in a minute, but she said, yeah, I know where Fashion Furniture is at. We bought a dining room set here. Rod needs to know that.
Rod Avedekin.
Rod Avedekin needs to know that we bring customers to this place.
No question about it. And also Firehouse Subs. If you want a sandwich, if you're hungry, come on over here to the great furniture, our little studio here. People don't realize how nice it is.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool setup, and with the Bob's Big Boy always in attendance, it's always fun to look at him.
Some people go, "You, what do you do? Is just sit in the recliners and do a show?" No, we have an actual studio here.
Yes,
right?
We do.
So,
yes, we do.
Matt, explain what
we
got going now.
It gives me great pleasure. I mean, you and I get an opportunity to canvas the Valley and look at all the great athletes and all over in the variety of sports. I mean, we catch them all, but I always have a particular keen interest in those student athletes to get it right in the classroom, to get it right in one sport, and that sport's over, then they segue into another sport, and that sport ends, and they get themselves refreshed, they go into their other sport, and they're effective in all three sports. And we have such a great student athlete right here from Madera South, a freshman, Tate Grantham. Welcome to the show, Tate.
Thanks, Coach.
So when you started to grow up as a youngster getting involved in athletics, what was your first love? What was the first sport that got you going?
It was really football. I have eight older brothers, and most of them played football.
Eight older brothers.
Yeah, eight older brothers.
Yes.
So.
Are you? Where are you at in that order?
I'm the youngest.
The youngest. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You had to fight for everything you could get.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, they really pushed me to do all my sports. But they pushed football, wrestling, like just doing everything that I could. Because keeping in sports keeps you clean, keeps you out of all the bad stuff. So.
Well said.
Tate, I got to ask you. So we very rarely bring freshmen on the show. Matt says you're very, very special, and that's why you're here. Alex Gamboa, one of the greatest athletes in not only at Madera, in the history of the Valley. He was All-State in wrestling. He throws 90-plus in baseball. He's one of the best wide receivers. You're a freshman. You got a long way to go. What's going to make Tate special by the time he's a senior? To turn around that Madera South football culture and let people know that we got a football team, guys. Because a lot of right now I'm seeing, I'm not coming to practice today. I don't want to go. Are you going to be that leader for the next 3 years to get that school going?
Yeah, for sure. I've been trying to, like, pick up my friends to try to lead them through it. There's a lot of bad influences at Madera South, but if you get your group going and you stick together, then I feel like we could get it going. I get with just my friends, make sure that they're always doing the right thing, and then in the classroom I can help out as much as I can. But if we get that group going, then I feel like we could really impact it coming up here soon.
Well, absolutely, and he is part of a very good freshman group. He's not the only one, I should say, that has their priorities straight for life and life after sports. But when you started playing football, in football, were you always a runner? Were you always a guy that got the ball in your hands?
Yeah, I've always been running back. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in wrestling, was it all those brothers at home that kind of got you into the sport? And I'm sure you had some pretty good – Dad could probably tell us better, but is there a little spot in the house where this is the arena introducing our youngest son against – I mean, did you guys have matches and wrestle off in your house?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
We always played – we always messed around and wrestled around. If I ever had like a problem with my brothers or something, then it's always let's go wrestle, like let's go have fun.
Right.
So we always just try to keep it as fun as possible.
Yeah.
Make sure it's always always going.
And the closest brother to you, what would his age be?
He is 21 right now.
21. So you got to grapple with guys who were maybe in their man muscle stage already. So which made you? Because I watched you on the mat wrestling. And to be such a young guy, and you're wrestling at 162 pounds in the 160s, where most of those wrestlers are definitely junior, senior types. And you get some freshmen in the lowest weight class. The Neville's brothers was just crazy off the charts as a freshman to wrestle heavyweight. But for you, you're wrestling against guys that they're a little more mature in their development, but probably having to battle against kids that were brothers that were older probably gave you that sense. So when you're grabbing onto somebody in a match, do you know right away, like, oh, this guy is strong, or do you know that I can pretty much have my way with him?
Yes, you always got to have that confidence. You can't ever be doubting yourself. It's all a mental game for wrestling.
Yeah.
So if you're going into the match knowing that you're going to win the match, like what you're going to do right off the whistle, you're going through all the moves in your head, then you're normally going to be pretty successful. It's all about your mental game.
Yeah.
So when I think junior, senior, I just think about how many years I've been putting into the sport.
Right.
And just doing the best that I can do.
Are you big on goal setting? Did you set a goal that your freshman year, I want to qualify for the state, which you did. Yeah. Congratulations for that. Did you set goals like that?
Yeah. So my goal was to make it to Masters this year.
Yeah.
And then at Masters, I was seeded 11th and top 10 go to state. And so as soon as I got to Masters, my instant goal was I got to get to state.
There you
I'm
go.
Here, I got to get to state.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then everything worked out, ended up placing 9th at Masters. And so I'm going to state, and that was probably the happiest thing this season for me was making it to state.
Right, right. And then the other thing I talked about with the PAG meter earlier was that, you know, my whole family wrestled. I started getting long and lanky, and I kind of broke the Johnson tradition, and I went to the basketball court. But I always ran track. All my brothers all wrestled. My oldest brother wrestled at Arizona State. I have a background of wrestling. My dad was just that guy that get us in the basement. We all wrestled. And then football was a natural. Football wrestling just mixed perfect. But track and field and wrestling. I was laughing with Ricardo Rivera, who's on your wrestling team. Victor Wren on wrestling. They run track with me now. And God bless them, but they're not very fast. Most wrestlers don't move explosive in a little box, but not fast, long run. I watched you run as an eighth grader, junior high, and I realized not only are you all of that in football and wrestling, but you're explosive fast. When did track and field start getting into your blood?
So I was a three-sport athlete my whole life. Normally I would do football, transition to wrestling, and then go into baseball. And then in baseball, I was realizing, like, I wasn't really getting, like, the best workouts I could. It wasn't really pushing me to my hardest.
So you actually, at a young age, realized, I'm trying to get the best workout for me.
Yeah.
And you didn't like the baseball, but, like, standing around a lot, or you didn't quite get the physical?
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I didn't, like, I loved it. I love playing baseball. It's one of my favorite sports.
Right.
But I really wanted to push into something else. So that last season, I tried to make it a little bit more fun for me.
Yeah.
I feel like baseball is kind of pushing a little much. So I transitioned into the track my eighth grade year.
Okay.
And I loved it. I mean, it's just like you have like 30 seconds on a short sprint, and you're just giving it your all. It's super fun.
Yeah. So you really enjoyed it. Did you jump too? I noticed you long jumped.
Long jump and 100 meter was really my favorites. Yeah.
Well, very good. Now, in school, your parents obviously, or the family in general, they push academics. They really stress the importance of doing things in the classroom, correct?
Yeah, it's all about grades first. It's grades, and then you can go have fun on the field.
Yeah. Right on. This is a segment on our show that it's almost faces in the crowd. Old Sports Illustrated, on the back pages of Sports Illustrated, they always highlight young up-and-comers. Well, you're certainly a young up-and-comer in our valley, and very proud of you, obviously. Wherever you go in life, continue to keep those same values that have driven you to the point you are at today, and you'll be successful in anything you do. And really, ultimately, as we push into the next segment of the show, that's really what this show is all about, is making sure that the things that you learn in the classroom, on the sports fields, the things you learn in grinding in the wrestling room are the same things that are going to make you a very successful young man and create a great family for yourself. Do you feel that? Do you feel that the work that you put in, you're getting some of it back now?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially making it to state this year, it really made me feel really good about all the work I put in for wrestling.
Yeah.
There's times in the room where it's like, I really don't want to be here. Like, it's really tough practices. Like, it gets hard in there, but you just think about what it's going to do for your future and how far you're going to make it this year. And it really helped me out this year making it to state, just to see it for the future, yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of... you know, this world we live in today, it's different a little bit from when I grew up and played in different sports. But there's a lot of gravitational pull that goes to other campuses. I'm certain with a guy of your ability, you're probably looked upon very favorably by a lot of schools all over our valley. So I know it can't be difficult. I'm not going to pin you to any questions like that. But just keep in mind, it's all about what you do, okay? Wherever you are, wherever you're prospering in the world of school, and if you do your thing right, you'll always get what you need. And I congratulate you, and I'll always be here to back you in anything you ever decide in life. But continue the good work. You've made us all proud in the world of Madera for the great accomplishments in your young career. Keep it up. We're visiting with Tate Grantham. We'll be back. You're listening to The Rise, 940 ESPN. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone Fashion Furniture. One-stop shop, and they got you covered. Next door, Mikey Boo Boo Mancini Dupree has the mattresses. The whole block here at Fashion Furniture, inside your house, your apartment, your condo, if you have a teepee out in the wilderness, they got you covered. Fashion Furniture, also Firehouse Subs. They have two locations, Cedar and Blackstone and Fowler and Herndon. Get on over there to the local guys, and I recommend the brisket. Outstanding brisket. Get on over there. Hey, also, you want to be on the Pag Meter All-Star Team. Pag Meter, myself, is up for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Man of the Year. And it's a raising money campaign. If you want to be a part of it, we're going to have some great fun stuff coming up. So go to this page, mwoypagmeter.org, mwoypagmeter.org, and give what you can. let's beat up this horrible disease of cancer and help the people that have to live with it every day. And this is what we do. So MWOY, pagmeter.org. We're going to also have a Tessa Brooks meet and greet here in Fresno. So if you want to be a part of that, message me, and we're going to get you involved, because when Tessa comes into town, we're going to do a leukemia lymphoma program with her. We're trying to find a location right now. It's going to be in March, so you can always be a part of that. That should be a big deal. Plenty of basketball going on. We've been talking about Celand Arena, of course. Some of the games, if you missed, that are happening, you can always go to the PAG meter, thepagmeter.com, and get all the information. Also, before we get into that, very special story, Matt Johnson. So, future Selma Bear star Maverick Mertens was killed on Friday night. A young 8-year-old, Matt, he was killed by a drunk driver. They're having a rally, a barbecue, Saturday at noon at the Selma Little League Park. It's just sad when you hear it. Oh. A silly, stupid, drunk driver killing a young kid like that. He was a big UCLA Bruin fan. And the family is devastated. But get on over there and celebrate the life of Maverick.
Yeah, all of our thoughts and prayers. I read it on your Twitter, and it just tore my heart out. You know, it's the athlete dying young, and it's just the tragedy.
We love sports.
It's a tragic situation, you can only just keep the family in your thoughts, and clearly go out and support. Go support. The family needs support.
Well, we got state playoff basketball going on right now. We got some teams left. This is a time where we all come together, don't you think, as one, our central section, and we root for each other against the rest of the state.
That's what happens. We battle all week, every game day, every week. We're talking about somebody else. We're preparing for another opponent in our section. And then it gets to these state games, and we should all rally behind the teams that are still representing our section.
Yes.
And there's some good ones out there still going. In the world of soccer, we just saw, hats off, talking wrestling, the Buchanan Bears did it again.
Four-peat.
We are representing America in the great sport of wrestling better than any one section in the entire world of wrestling. And it's all here in the central section to see Selma do so well. Clovis, obviously. The Bakersfield School. Everybody in wrestling in our valley obviously is very proud. They love the sport as we do. But we don't spend enough time talking about what those young men and girls in the girls' championships do and sacrifice in the sport of wrestling. It's the greatest single sacrifice sport, I believe, that we have to offer in this country is wrestling.
Well, we do the Zone Show. Nick and Nick are back on the Fieldhouse. We will be on tomorrow at 3:30, by the way, because Fresno State baseball coming up. But as we were doing the show last week, here come the Clovis West swim team. Adam Reed, the head coach. Hey, Coach, how many years has it been now? You just keep winning. 23 years in a row.
23 section championships. Valley champs, 23 years.
We don't talk enough of that.
We do, and I sometimes throw a little jab in
there,
but that's just...
But back in the day, you're right.
It's not even possible.
We used to make a joke, oh, come on, they had the only swimming pool in the valley. That's why they're so good. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Because in the last 10 or 15 years, everyone has a beautiful swimming facility, even though Clovis West still has an Olympic, you know, qualification pool.
Yeah, they've got a pool that, Olympic trials have been here in the Clovis West Nautitorium or whatever they call the stadium. It's beyond that, though. They've done enough. It's just the legacy, the tradition. We heard from Maddie Campbell after the Clovis West victory for the Valley Championships in basketball. Maddie said something about Clovis West, the girls' basketball team. Tradition never graduates. Tradition never graduates. And in that swimming program, we're graduating three masters champions. We're graduating two girls going on, or boys going on to college. Well, who's coming? Well, we've got the sophomore national leader and the free. We've got every year it's the youth program. And, oh, by the way, how many times, and you used to live right behind the baseball park,
state
was your house. You were there. How many times would you go over there to run or throw pitches or do whatever? it's always open. There's always someone in the pool out there. They clearly put in the work.
And they have the state championship still there, and they line up RVs all over the place out there.
Oh, yeah.
So they great job again. And this is what, you know, this is the time of year that what's going on.
Yep.
Basketball again is going on. We had a great time at Selling Arena. We're talking right now. Bob Kajanian's in, talking with Nick Anderson about Selling Arena and all the flaws. The good, bad, and ugly is it's still almost 12,000 people. That's the good. The bad news is Selling Arena is getting old.
We'll be back with the Labor's International Union of North America for a special presentation for a student athlete. But Bob made it very clear, in high school basketball, when the clock says zero, the clock says zero, game over. There's no horn involved. We can argue this until we're all blue in the face, but the bottom line is, the true clarification is, if you see it, but it's real time, and you can't see it that quickly.
The shot was off before the horn, Dante Chazere. Game over, Clovis West wins.
That's it.
Let's take a break. We got some great stuff coming up. Also, we'll have football news. And we'll have plenty of stuff for Nick and Matt in the 1 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader. We'll be back.
Valley. It's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matt Johnson. Matt, big show today. But Fashion Furniture, it's a big show every day here.
It really is, and this is as big as it gets because we're joined with the Labor's International Union, North America Labor's Union, Local 294, Fresno, California. We've got a lot of great members here in attendance. And, Nick, you really, your affiliation with Anthony Ayerza at the Fresno County Superintendent of Schools, started this thing on just a little deal about a little showing a little bit of marketing promotion help on our show for this great event they had at Chichansey Park.
Well, Anthony's actually almost family because Jordan Ayerza went out with Tessa at the forum and we're trying to get him married now. So we're trying to work that out. In fact, Tessa's going to have a meet and greet. I want Jordan there in March.
We'll be there.
Of course, Jordan, and then we start great little running back. We always got one of the toughest kids on the planet.
Yes.
With what he got out of his body.
Is that wrong? We're trying to set up a marriage early like this. Is that
bad? It is wrong. They do that in certain countries, but hopefully not here in America.
Well, I'm Italian, and that's what we do. Anthony, welcome in.
Thank you.
Yeah, Anthony, again, at Jimmy Vino, over the weekend, got to hang out with him. He at the Sullen Arena for basketball. What you guys do for local is off the charts. Matt and I talked about what you guys have been doing for how many years now?
Forever, since we started 15 years ago.
Yeah, and I was telling Matt yesterday at Bullard High School, they wanted me to come in, and they have a lot of seniors, and talking. You know, we're trying to get them prepped for resumes and, you know, maybe job interviews. And there was like 5 out of 7, they all say, well, I just want to be an electrician or I want to be a mechanic. They're not looking at UCLA or something. You're on to something here, and I think it's only going to grow.
Yeah, and that's what Superintendent Vino came to us about 6 years ago when we started this expo, and it's like now all kids are going to go to for university, and how do we address the majority of that population of our students, you know, and he's all about changing lives one student at a time, and that's what we're trying to do, and especially I think Zach's a perfect example of that, and just started off here in a little radio show and doing some promotion for our big event, and it turned into something that's real, and that's what this is all about, is making things real and helping these students have something after they graduate from high school.
Well, most importantly, I mean, Coach Anthony Gallegos and I talk about all the time, when we find an interest for one of our student athletes, and maybe it wasn't math, but yet they can measure and build a perfect bird box, and there's math, and they do it with high efficiency, the unbelievable type stuff they can do. That's math, but that's because they're engaged and enjoying what they're doing. A lot of times kids sit in the classroom and they just don't get the connection of how this relates to
what it was yesterday.
Thank you. What they can do. and what you've done in your office and all over the state of California, hopefully everyone's on board with this idea that a career technical education is how I grew up, that not everyone's going to go on and play football at USC, or not everyone's going to go be a major, as you said, at colleges like UCLA or Cal Berkeley or wherever they might go. But there are kids, men and women, that need the same level of enthusiasm and training to begin their career. And that's how this idea was spurned over that. You hooked us up with the labor's union, and we started talking about why do all these great high school athletes go through this day of signing? You know, they have all their hats out front of the table. They announce that I'm taking my talents to the University of Miami, and everyone celebrates them. That's great. That's the world we're in sports. But there's a lot of great student athletes that do things to the best of their ability, and then they sit around watching those kind of programs, and it's, that's not for me, and what am I going to do in life? Well, this young man, Zachary Salas, came to me, as all the seniors do, all around this country, senior night. And Zachary, we'll get to Zachary.
Oh. Yeah.
On senior night, they give out their little bio, and the bio reads, what did you enjoy about the most of your high school years? Which person most helped change your life? Who do you, all the little questionnaires. One of the questions, obviously, is what's your plan after high school? And I make it a point to proofread all those slips. I don't get the occasional, the one that goes out on air of the PA system in front of everyone that sounds a little stupid. And I'm reading Zachary Salas' bio, and then his statement was, a labor's life for me, labor's union after high school. I called him in, and we'll talk to him about this, and I asked, what does that mean? Because I was always of the belief that, with all due respect to the great men in this room right now, that labor, that's what I do in my backyard all day. That's not exactly what I'm thinking is going to be my career. But there are hundreds and thousands of men and women that is what built this country. Are people on the streets doing that on a day-to-day? We drive by them every day. We don't think much about it. So as a high school football coach, when he told me my dad's, that's what he does, that's what I believe I'll be doing. And we just mentioned it on the air with Anthony Agurza and Efren Gizar. You were there, Nick. And he took that. And he made a call, and they hooked this thing up. And next thing I know, we're talking about honoring. Not Zachary is a figure, but there are thousands of kids like Zachary Salas that are looking for an opportunity to begin a career with benefits and all of the training and all of the great pay, by the way, that affords them a life to lead a good life. And that's how we came about.
So, Anthony, the next step, what happened?
So then, we reached out. It's been a big thing in our office here probably the last year or two with my boss, Valerie Vucic, who said, hey, you know what, we need to promote some of these signings that we have with our industry partners and show the value of that. And let's treat it like a big D1 signing.
Yep.
And so that's kind of how we ended up getting today. And Zachary is the first, example of that happening. And so we're just trying to make, things really and give value to what we do. CTE has such a stigma to it, and you get there.
Wait a
and
CTE, what is that?
Career Technical Education. Yes. Has a big stigma to it, and a lot of people don't want to tie to that.
Yeah.
But
chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is concussion syndrome. Yeah. I thought that's what he's referring to.
Me too. I'm like, oh, Zach.
I know that's what you're referring to. That's not what I'm referring to, but yes, thank you.
But, our superintendent, Jim Yovino, recognizes that, right? And there's value to this. Well, that's why he just built a state-of-the-art high school right across from San Joaquin Memorial, C-Tech High, to promote the value in career technical ed, because our industry partners are coming to us. Unfortunately, I'm in a position where I can make these business contacts, communications, with Leonard and a lot of the other people that are out in industry, and they're telling us what their needs are. And so our superintendent's listening to that. He's building a school to help meet those needs, because what are we going to do when all these baby boomers are retiring? Who's going to backfill that workforce? And, unless you have a skilled trade and a labor, who's going to do that? So we need to start these kids young and kind of exposing them to opportunities and skills needed. You talked about math. Well, when's a kid going to be able to understand the concepts of math? When you can apply it, you can sit in a classroom all day long and try to learn out of a math book, but once you get a tape measure in your hand and you're talking about tolerances and, mistakes that are costly and it means something to you, then that's when they can apply it. So we're all about project-based learning, and that's what makes these students succeed.
Well, let's bring Leonard.
All right.
Come on in, Leonard. Leonard from Luna, right?
Luna, yes.
Yeah, so let me ask you before we get to your new
Zachary, yeah.
So Zachary, he's the rookie, right? Are you putting him on the 300-foot ladder up there and say, rookie, go up there and get it?
No,
come on,
not,
come on, what are we doing for rookies?
Not quite.
Rookie hazing.
First off, for Zachary and apprentices like Zachary, is it's safety first. You know, so Zachary's going to he'll go through 40 hours of safety training. You know, there's OSHA 10, first aid CPR, confined space, traffic control. So apprentices like Zachary will come in, we'll do that training, and then once they complete that, then we get them out dispatched. And in Zachary's case, he'll be sponsored, going to work with a contractor and working along journeymen that have, you know, years in the industry and in our field, in our jurisdiction, and that will, you know, like Anthony's saying, the project-based learning, you know, it's on-the-job training. So the job site is a training site, and there'll be laborers like these gentlemen here that'll be working with him to train him to become, to work towards a journeyman status.
Right, Leonard Gonzalez, before we go any further, too, it has to be noted, you were quite a little athlete growing up, and you're a Central Valley guy. Tell us briefly your story, baseball, the championship, and everything you went through.
Thanks, Coach Johnson. Yeah, I actually grew up in the community of Kerman, so I know Coach Ayers. He was actually my football coach, and ended up going over to Tranquility transferred. Baseball was
By the way, I don't know, how does Anthony look younger than you?
I know. He looks good, man. He's
8'12". Look how good he looks.
He's got a cush job.
You look bad, but, I mean, come on.
Yeah, you know, I need to go.
I think it's you and I. We got to get rid of the hair on our face.
Yeah.
You know, get back to youthful look. But anyway, go ahead, baseball.
Yeah, so baseball, you know, I grew up playing it, loved it, you know, worked really hard, just like a lot of these athletes do in the Central Valley. You know, you have a lot of great programs down here. And, you know, during that time at Tranquility, you know, we had a pretty good team. You know, we were baseball, we competed even with the city schools. You know, you have the city and county that goes on, you know, and, you know, in 91, you know, we really bonded as a group, as a team. You know, we had that brotherhood, worked really hard, and, you know, we were able to accomplish and win the Valley Championship for Tranquility. And it's interesting because there's a lot of similarities. You know, for me, I thought I was going to go on. You know, I had a cousin who was drafted in the 16th round, Gary Gonzalez. He's actually in the Hall of Fame for Kerman High School. You know, one of the top three leaders in strikeouts, went to, got drafted 16th round by the White Sox. You know, so I had that vision. I had that dream. Well, that didn't happen. And so for me, you know, I kind of took a different journey, and I found myself, you know, in college, playing some college ball. But inevitably, it was I needed to go to work.
Yeah.
I needed to earn a living, and so I took the long path. And I think, you know, for guys like Zachary, both men and women, you know, it's an opportunity to give access and exposure about apprenticeship. And it's not just about the laborers, but organized labor, whether, like you said, an electrician, a plumber, a pipe fitter.
Yep.
You know, it's giving that exposure of a career pathway, just like you have, you know, your post-secondary. We actually have Dan Souza, who's one of our partners from State Center Community College District, represents Fresno City College Madera. You know, it's an option. It's a pathway. And that's what we're about. And to hear Zachary's story and also with you, you know, it's a good opportunity for Zachary, and he's going to get a lot of training before he even gets placed.
That is awesome. Zachary, man of the hour, Zachary Salas, when you were brought into my office to go over your statement about a laborer's life for you, you had no idea what was getting ready to happen to you, did you?
No, I didn't understand.
No, give us a little feeling. When you wrote that statement down, your mind was you know, and as all of the student athletes, wrestling, what do I say about this? But you actually, deep inside, you had a kind of a dream or a feeling of what you'd be doing after high school?
Yes, I really wanted to be a labor junior. It's one thing I had a passion for.
Yep. That, and of course, card tricks and everything else. Because the union guys are all kind of figuring out that Zachary has a passion for magic. And he entertained a lot of our football players all year with his magic tricks and the cards. Right now, I know you're probably feeling a little, you know, this is crazy. All this attention's been thrown upon you like this, but family at home must be very proud of you at this point.
Yeah, my grandma's very proud of me, and also my dad.
What's the biggest thing you think is going to be the biggest challenge for you as you continue to move forward after graduation, of course, of high school? But what kind of things are you kind of most concerned about? And maybe right here, Leonard and the others can help you fight through any kind of nervous energy you might have.
Well, probably to get to know everything on the workforce and just getting to know everything at one time.
The training.
Yeah, the training, basically, mostly.
And as far as that goes now, he'll leave. I talk about sometime in March now, we'll have an opportunity. He'll go over to the Bay Area and tell us about that.
So on his spring break, I think it's mid-April, around mid-April is when you guys go on break. He will come up to San Ramon, which is our main headquarters for our apprenticeship program for Northern California. Our training director, Ollie Hurd, is here. We have a safety cert class. It's a 40-hour class. Yep. And so our campus is a 350-acre campus in San Ramon. Yep. We have a full commercial kitchen. We have dormitories. It is a campus. It's a small university for labor. So Zachary will be coming up and spending the week with us. He'll be living in the dorms. He'll get a safety cert, his OSHA 10, first aid CPR, confined space, flagger, or in traffic control. Once he completes that, he is eligible to go to work. So the minute he graduates, that Saturday, if they have work for him, but more likely that Monday, he'll be going to work when he's done graduating.
Anything you'd like to say, Zachary? Any statements that you've thought about? Or
just thanks, Coach, for doing this for me.
Yes, he's a man of many words, Zachary Salas.
If I may, Coach Johnson, really to you, Nick, Anthony, Superintendent Urbino, thank you guys for giving us the time, the opportunity, for us to come on and talk about our programs, our apprenticeship programs. Here in the Valley, I think there's a lot of opportunity, and that exposure goes a long way. And I think with young men and women like Zachary, who are getting ready to graduate and aren't quite sure, it's a great pathway for them to earn and learn, and not go into debt. And even through that process, they may decide, hey, I want to become an engineer. I want to become a general contractor. I want to pursue something else. But it gets them the opportunity to have some work ethic, and be successful. And so thank you for that. We appreciate your time and everything that you do to advocate for the trades.
It's what we all do. And Anthony knows as good as anybody as a coach. You as now a father of a great wrestler yourself. This is what we do, is we make sure that we take care of our students to the best of our ability and help them transform them into, hopefully, a better life one day, and that's happening. We'll be back and visit with a few others, hopefully, here, but you're listening to 940 ESPN. We're more than just sports. We're life-changing here at 940. We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Back live here at Fashion Furniture. I'm Matt Johnson, Nick Capagni. We're with Arise Fashion Furniture. We want to thank you as one of our community local leaders of taking care of all the needs of our community. Fashion Furniture is more than a furniture store. It's a way of life. The family and the ownership of this group has been local, giving back to our community forever. That helps us bring shows like 940 The Rise to you live. Of course, Firehouse Subs. Giving back to the community in a lot of special ways, giving back to first responders by helping make sure that our first responders have all the equipment they need to helpfully save lives. And, of course, we're visiting with Anthony Ayerza. Dan Souza's in the house to talk about this connection between trade, training, and education and career training and how that relates to the junior colleges and the schools in the area. And Dan Souza, introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, I'm Dan Souza. I manage the apprenticeship program out of State Center Community College District. I've been working with the laborers for about 2.5-3 years on some various programs. I'm, in education terms, I'm their LEA as well, their local educational agency. So I report all of their training hours, kind of oversight of their training programs, make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, logging the hours they're supposed to be doing, and then I turn those in to the state chancellor's office. But it's been a phenomenal program. And we extended that into a grant that I received 3 years ago from the California chancellor's office, and they called it California Apprenticeship Initiative, which was funding of various different programs, new and innovative apprenticeship programs. I applied and received funding in 3 different areas. One of them was a advanced manufacturing program. More specifically, the other one was a pre-apprenticeship program, and that's really where the partnership with the laborers has really blossomed out into a phenomenal program. We've been working with a community agency called, it's under the Fresno EOC, it's the Valley Apprenticeship Connections, and they're going into the poverty-stricken areas of Fresno and really doing a great job of preparing people, preparing them for the physical aspects of the training that we do with the laborers. And so it's kind of a three-piece partnership, really. The Valley Apprenticeship Connections will do all the prep work. When we're done with that, the laborers come in and they do a six-week training on construction fundamentals, HAZWOPR training, hazardous material. They give them all their certificates. They receive CPR, first aid,
wow,
several of, of those everyday types of certificates that people need just to get in the door to do an interview.
And Dan, you do that in conjunction with the students at the community college basis? It's the classroom type setting?
Yeah, it's in,
on your campuses?
So we have an off-site campus off Fresno City College,
okay,
called our Career and Technology Center.
I've
also partnered with Fresno Adult School as well as Sanger Adult School. So we've tried to do some various things just to try to expand the program out into more of a community than what it has been prior to that.
Now, Anthony, your office, County Superintendent's office, you work in collaboration with a community college group, or how does that work?
Correct. Yeah. So we are partners with them in different aspects of the educational model,
right.
And then but they're tied directly with a separate program than we are. We kind of focus more on the local high school level, but we do expose students to opportunities that are post-secondary education through like State Center Community College District.
Well, being in the educational business, how did this morph to where it is today? This is not always this way, was it? Where did we begin this career technical education piece?
Well, it's been around for Fresno RLP has been around for like 45 years,
okay,
right? And so, everybody's used to the typical wood shop, metal shop, those kind of
right,
terms and stuff. And we've really morphed into something bigger and beyond that. You know, there's a lot of different skills and stuff that have come through over the years within our programs and adapting to industry and their recommendations. You know, we have advisory meetings where we bring industry partners in and we listen to them and how things have changed, and so how can we keep up to stuff with what's going on in the real world? Our kids are ready.
Did high school campuses change? That's really the question I'm wondering.
Well, it's a pendulum, right?
Okay.
So when at the beginning, you could go to any high school, and you could find career technical ed shops everywhere, and then they kind of shut them down, and then there wasn't a need for that. So we had a lack of teachers, and those that were strong based kind of held on to those, and some of those schools just kind of folded their programs, and they kind of went into like magnet schools where they would, if you were in Fresno Unified, you would go to Duncan Polytech for that type of training or education. A lot of our rural schools maintained those shops, and they're still going today. Then, of course, now the swing is the other way. So we need this technical type of education training, skilled labor, if you will, because the days of people just showing up and using manual labor, that's kind of going away. You know, technology is changing a lot,
right,
and it requires a lot. You know, you just mean you're like your mechanic nowadays. They just don't turn wrenches. They have to have a computer to troubleshoot diagnose what's going on and those kind of things. So we're adapting our programs according to that. And I'm telling you, honestly, the big push in Fresno ROP and Fresno County Superintendent Schools is well known throughout the state of California for their programs because we have a leader in Jimmy Ovino and like in Valerie Vucic who have bought into this,
yep,
and have invested money into programs and into schools and into districts to provide students with the best opportunity possible for them. And then now, for example, our new school, our C-Tech High, and a lot of other high schools, well, they are dual enrolled with Fresno City College.
Mm-hmm.
So those kids are taking courses at their high school, and they're getting their CTE experiences, but they're also getting the college-level rigor of the curriculum, so when they graduate from high school in 4 years, they're going to have a two-year degree as well. So there's a lot of this. They're morphing those kind of courses and that type of philosophy into the high school level, and because we have partnerships with Fresno City College and State Center Community College District, we're able to partner our high school teachers as adjunct faculty who can provide that type of rigor curriculum for those students at the high school. So when they do graduate, they're not only getting a high school diploma, they're getting a two-year a degree as well.
Yeah, they get a jump on it. So they're getting college credit. So
right.
It's, as Anthony said, it's dual credit, and they're getting both. Yeah. Yeah.
Dan, Sousa, Anthony, are yours, in your world, in the world of sports, you know, there's many ways to quantify exactly how we're doing, the scoreboard, wins and losses. How do you, in your educational business, State Community College, obviously from you at your office, Anthony, how do you know if it's working? How do we measure this in your world?
Well, Zach Salas is a perfect measurement for that there. You know, and we are starting to get more and more of that. You know, for example, we've established a partnership with Sales Enterprise like 4 years ago with Carruthers High School and their welding and program. And those students are going there. In fact, we have an on-site visit this week where they're going to send probably six seniors there, and they're going to select probably four of those six. They're going to give them a – so instead of going in their high school welding shop, they're going to go to Selzy. That's going to be their community class. They call it a community classroom. They're going to go there. And those kids are going to get that experience. And not only that, they're going to employ them. So, and they've been doing this for like probably – we're in our fourth year now. And so now they're getting a kid in high school, right, that is at a level that can perform in an industry environment. And then once they get in there and they get training, now that gives two things. It gives kids an insight on, is this really what I want to do and invest my time and efforts into? And the other thing is it gets the employer a firsthand look at that student saying, well, hey, man, this is a pretty good kid. We want to invest in them to make them better. And we have students that are now working there. If we've been doing this for 6 years, or now, I mean, 4 years, they've been employees for Celsius for 4 years. And right. So they're learning how to make careers. Because to me, honestly, the key thing is hooking these kids right out of high school before they get a chance to develop bad habits. They can't get up in time. They can't pass a drug test.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to any employer, they're going to tell you, give me somebody who's going to show up. You're going to show up on time. You're going to test drug-free, and I'll give them all the other skills they need.
Right.
So we're trying to front-load that within our programs. Not only are we going to give you that, but we're going to give you some kids with some good introductory skills and hopefully some educational backing with an AA degree with some of our dual-enrolled programs.
Yeah, I think another measuring stick is how successful we've become is everybody's pretty much on the same page. I mean, you've got high schools that are working directly, as Anthony mentioned, directly with the dual enrollment with the community colleges.
Yep.
Community colleges have pathways either into industry directly or, to a baccalaureate degree at the four-year level. So as far as success, you know, the pendulum is back in the mm-hmm. direction of let's spend as much money as we can, let's upskill kids, let's get them job ready. The colleges, that's their focus. The high schools, that's their focus. So there's a lot of districts starting to work with the community colleges and pathway into the university for transfer if that's their desire. On the CTE side, like myself, I just came from a glass plant in Madera. So I know directly what these people are asking for. And there's technicians walking around with laptops. It's not a mechanic's job anymore. We're talking about technicians.
Yep.
And technicians that all need all of these great skills, and these skills aren't just what they used to be. They could take an advanced computer and motor control and all kinds of classes that would upskill them, but we're starting to see that at the high school level, getting them even ready for the community college pathway that would lead them into the industry.
Absolute awesome stuff. We thank you so much, Dan, Sousa, Anthony, Ayurza. We'll talk more. We're going to bring Nick back in here, but I'll tell you what. Without these programs, I believe we'd really be lost. I think we're gaining traction. I think it obviously is working. We applaud your efforts. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be back. We're going to come back with Nick Papagni, Bob Cajani, and we'll finish at the end of the show with a little Zachary Salas photo presentation, which you'll see on Nick Papagni's Twitter account and all over the website. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be right back. Don't turn that dial. You're listening to 940 ESPN The Rise.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. Little special day here at The Rise Show. It's the Pack Meter. It's Matty J. We got this place packed, and if Rod was here, he'd be loving it right now.
Yeah, he missed
and
it.
We can get some stuff fixed while they're here.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. They're all looking at the fire. The jets are above
us
right now.
Underground plumbing right now. We're working.
They can take care of it. So these guys are here. Great job. Zach, best of luck and all that good stuff.
It really is a special day because it's something that, you know, it's just in the infant stages for what we do. But I'd like to do this on an annual basis where we can just, or even more than that, just continue to sign kids up and kind of make sure that we keep everything honest and upfront and real. Not everyone's going to be signing their collegiate signing day to go off and play football at Alabama or do whatever they do.
So what is the rookie hazing in this kind of world? Do you have to carry the nails, the 50-pound
nail
bag?
Well, I worked for a scaffolding company in college for my side job, and there was definitely the yard was, okay, those 32 trucks, you're loading them. And by the way, the record for putting planks on your back is 6. So we're going to try to put 7 because we want to see if you can break the record. There's a lot of things that go on in the construction industry where it's safe. But yet, of course, when you're new on any job, isn't there going to be a little level of making sure the rookie gets the right treatment?
Well, we got another rookie in the house, Bob Kajanian, who did a great job over the weekend at Selling Arena. Well, Bob, welcome in.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Bob.
We enjoyed. I mean, I don't know if our station knows we broadcast to the game. We had a great time there.
Well, from what I hear, you guys did a great job of keeping people entertained.
Yeah, entertainment is our forte.
And Bobby did say he taped the game. I'm getting an email. Hey, do you have a tape of the game? We'll figure that out once Bobby, he's got Parvo right now. We'll get him going.
Oh, we're not talking Bobby KJ anymore.
No,
yeah.
Our Bobby at
our Bobby,
ESPN.
Yes. So
who was
Bobby,
our producer?
Bob here in studios looking at us like, Bob, I don't have Parvo.
Okay, what's give us the breakdown, Selling Arena. How did it all work out besides the scoreboard?
I think we had a good show.
Great games.
We had some lopsided games. We had some competitive games. We had great entertainment. We had some wonderful people come in and sing National Anthem, which, by the way, I found really kind of interesting. I didn't get hammered for not having National Anthem before every game like I did in softball last year, but I guess people are starting to understand that we're trying to, you know, keep games on time, and that was the one thing that, you know, I really pride myself on is that we said we're starting at 6, we started at 6,
well, I
start
think the
eight.
Tradition, though, Bob, is you've always done it at the late game, this National Anthem basketball.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
always been the late game.
And by the way, how could you miss the most important part of all of that? Quite possibly one of the greatest performances of National Anthem that I've ever been a part of took place in Selling Arena. I don't know the name. We should have. I know you took pictures.
From Emmanuel.
From Emmanuel. That
oh,
was
yeah.
unbelievable performance.
But I'm going to give a little a shout out to Tess from Montpierre from Clovis North. We heard her sing and
well, yeah,
she lights
we,
out.
We already did. We gave that shout out, but we didn't do full justice to the that rendition at Selling Arena of the National Anthem. That was without question one of the great ones of all time.
And Tess's granddad, who just passed away a couple weeks ago, Patrick James, one of the great legendary Fresno people, passed away. So her granddad, what a great singer. We could talk national anthems all day. Next year, Matt and I will be just singing a little duet.
Well,
good.
You know, I tell you what, Brent Smithers over at Fresno County Office of Ed does a great job of finding these people and bringing them in. I can't say enough about the crowd for a 2 o'clock Friday afternoon game for Division Five girls, courtesy of Carruthers and Kalinga.
Brought the towns.
They tried to outdo each other, and it was a great, great environment because those student bodies both got into that game, and I am very pleased that both Carruthers and Kalinga won their opening state round games and will be hosting again tonight.
Now, yep. Jim Uvino is listening out there, and he was. Anthony Ayers has said he was listening. One more year. I'm voting now. We go to the Save Mart Center. Let's just put a ribbon around Selling Arena. We had a great run. But it's falling apart. City of Fresno doesn't want to support. With the that thing should have been first class. The greatest thing we got going downtown is Selden Arena and high school basketball. And, Bob, you could, I mean, you're going to come in and probably be sweet about it. But that scoreboard didn't work, and that's part of the battle.
Well, the video board.
The video board.
Yeah, scoreboard worked fine. Let's not spread
the video
rumors.
Board's huge. Video. You know, everybody loves the video board. I think it's time we go to the Save Barn Center. We got skyboxes. It's a bit, and it's everything else is at Fresno State, Bob. You got baseball now, softball, water polo. What else you got?
Well,
badminton is coming.
That's it for right now. But you know, I'd like to see us entertain Save Mart Center.
I like it.
The problem is that we need to find a way to play 2 days there. And
the
with
date.
Fresno State in the Mountain West, and they do not play back-to-back men and women, they are always at opposite sites. One of those dates is always going to have a college game there. Now,
yeah, you got me on that one.
Well, what would happen if we integrated the college game as part of the tournament?
Wow. We can assure that we would have massive crowds.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
We can assure that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what are you talking? What are you thinking?
I'm just in the running through my own little brain of how that could work, depending if it's a men's or women's game.
Well, we're not, by the way, just look, we did the game on radio.
Yeah.
But we're not, let's give credit to a few more people too, please, because I think it's an injustice if we don't talk about the halftime, the breaks in between, the entertainment, the on-court announcing, the television crews from all over our valley. But is it Andrew Martin?
Andrew Martin at 47-24.
And
Nick King's pretty good.
Nick King, 26.
Who had the mic at the half?
That's Kevin.
That's Kevin
now,
Miller.
How does not anyone give that guy credit? He's without. It's like going to a. When I was a kid, you know, they'd go on buses.
Let's get ready to rumble.
You would all travel to these motivational youth events, and there'd always be a leader of the entire event on the. That's who he is.
He's good.
Kevin is everything at a football game. That guy is very entertaining. He brings the energy and the passion, but no one ever seems to talk about it.
But you know what,
we
too, is thanks to our show, Bobby, you do a great job, and Jimmy Vino and his group, because we don't have the promotions anymore. The Fresno Bee is dead. It's over with. We get nothing. There's no more promotions from them. When Andy Bogart left, bye-bye Fresno Bee. So what you... We're still getting 11 to 12,000 a game, which is fantastic.
Yeah, we had 11,900 paid, and we had over 16,000 in the buildings for the 2 days. And again, that's just our community. However they're getting the message, that's our community supporting the children of our community.
How about the payback to the schools? It works out better than ever, right?
Oh, it does. When we first did this thing back 15 years ago, we tripled the amount of money that we were sent to the schools as opposed to playing in their home floor. Now, let's just imagine we try to play that game at Clovis West. Now, I don't know the capacity of Clovis West, but I got to believe it's around
2,500.
Okay, you're saying 2,500. Well, we had a good 6,000 people in the building. So if they got 2,500 there, what do we do with the other 3,500 that want to see the game?
They're listening to us on the radio in the parking lot.
You know? As cold as it was in Selden Arena, isn't it better than being out in the parking lot?
We might get some trade for that.
No kidding. No, you're right. But it's time to put Selden Arena, you know, everything must be put down sooner or later. It's time. Once a year, Selden Arena.
What are they going to do with Selden Arena?
I think it's time to turn it into a shopping center or something.
A shopping center?
Well, the circus is over.
Well,
there's no more circus. I think we have hockey still, but that's over.
How about destroy it and build, you know, luxury downtown condominiums or something? Bring some people to live downtown.
Yeah, that could be our big giant river we could fish in. Something, I don't know.
Why not? Who knows?
No, but it's Save Mart time.
Trying to get the schedule with girls, about you know the ladies, the guys, maybe. Who
It'd
knows?
Be nice to have the men right in the middle, maybe of Division 5, 4. If you want to get a sellout crowd with Fresno State basketball, get high school basketball going at the same time.
I'm really into this Cal Poly experiment that we might be able to make happen. I like the Cal Poly idea.
For football and soccer.
And maybe basketball if we have to. Why not?
Okay, we have plenty of the Central Coast.
Nick, how many Cal Poly basketball?
We have plenty of the Central Coast.
Capacity.
We have plenty of the Central Coast listening to us right now. And the bag meter rankings are out. I love to see the San Luis Obispo Tigers over here. They didn't have a good showing on Friday night, but it was a good crowd here. So they like the Central section. Way to go, Central Coast.
Yeah, I will say that our coastal people are very much enjoying being part of the Central section. Yeah. And they are listening. I hear from them all the time. And
when they showed up, the boys team, San Luis Obispo High School showed up, did they was there any talk of, how did we get this game? Who are these guys, and how did they get matched up with us?
No. All I ever heard was positives people coming over and saying.
It's time to take a break, but, Bob, you did come by our little broadcast booth, and you let myself and I think Nick know that, Nick, you were pretty good with that outlandish point spread thing you threw out in front of us.
Right
on
now?
The show, remember?
Yeah.
I think on Saturday night, if Memorial played Clovis West, 10,000 people. They're the two best teams in the Valley right now.
Oh, they are.
Memorial's peaking. They are legit right now. Same Clovis West.
The great thing about Memorial is, let's take a break, but what they do is they don't have a large capacity on campus, but you get more from outside of their circle that comes to watch them play basketball.
They have their own TV network.
So they could put 17-505 at Save Mart. Easy. Yeah. Clovis West, San Joaquin Memorial. A game after the game. Bob K. Janey's going to promote it. We'll find the money for it. Let's have one more game after the games are over.
Yeah. You might be on the sub.
Why not?
Let's Bob,
pay the players, too. They all get a contract.
All right, let's take a break. We are live right here at the Rice Show at 940 ESPN.
The number one leader in sports. We'll be back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, and River Park. Come on down and hang out with us, this beautiful Fashion Furniture studios that we have for 940 ESPN. Also, Firehouse Subs, Blackstone & Niece, Herndon & Fowler, Firehouse Subs. Matt, what can you say? Brisket?
No, let's try the hook and ladder.
Okay, you go hook and ladder.
Just don't ask me like you do every single time I say certain things that are off the path. Well, tell me, what's in it? What are all the ingredients?
I don't know.
Like to do that because you're that guy.
Yeah, I like to throw pressure on you.
You are a definite. there's no gray area with you. They either like you or they don't like that guy.
And you're with
at least they're listening because I get a lot of that. Like, I like you guys do. Yeah, other guy though. Pag meter, I follow him, but I don't like that guy.
I like that. Now you're on my team because a lot of people don't like you either.
That's
I love
fair
that.
Enough because I've been with you that long that now people are like, how do you even associate with that guy?
And just wait till Nick Anderson on Friday. Memorial hates him.
Well, we're the three. We're the most unpopular three guys on the planet.
By far. But the most popular we have.
Yeah.
But because we either liked or hated.
Yep.
Right? But that means you're listening.
At least I can look at my educational pursuits and my intellect and know that I'm above you in that department. You beat me in ping pong. I'll give that. Okay, you beat me in ping pong. You get that.
Pool, ping pong,
but
basketball.
When you and I go take the SAT, I'm guessing I score better on that test.
Oh, ouch. Wow.
You can throw a ball faster and further, but I think I got you in the SAT and the ACT.
You're still bitter.
I am.
Okay. Bobby K in the house. See what I got to deal with, Bob? This is what I deal with. But we had fun at the.
We did.
We had a great.
We did.
If you like entertainment, broadcasting.
When we had the three-way going, first Nick Anderson, Matt Johnson, Nick Papagni, priceless. And then when we introduced in the next game, Andy Bogard was the perfect little solution to just picking up on the finite details. Because as a award-winning reporter, the best sports reporter, best sports writer, even still today, even though he's retired, he's still the best. Andy Bogard was there to put in those little, actually.
Alex Philly.
If you look at Alex Philly, who incidentally, he only scored 10, 12, 8, 6, 5. In the last two games, he scored over 90 points. He just brings the story to the picture. I love what Andy Bogard
does.
We've
lost that media.
We lost that headline that reads, you know, Clovis West wins, buzzer loses, or just that little caption headline that captures our imagination. We don't have that anymore.
Well, Andy's so good as well because he is hot fudge. So many media nowadays are just, you're great, we're great, we're all great.
They just report
but
the
Andy
news
now,
that
yeah.
everyone can get.
Yeah.
It's not about reporting news that any you know, slappy from anywhere can read. It's about creating that vision, creating that special, beautiful part of what radio and news print brings.
Hey, football news. Carlos Barajas is the new head coach for the Dinuba Emperors. 18-year defensive coordinator.
Veteran of the Dinuba Emperors. Community loves him. Great hire by Dinuba.
Yeah.
It's always great to see someone who has more than just a vested interest. He is Dinuba. He gets to be the head coach of the Emperors.
So we're still talks that there could be a change at Reedley. We still have nothing at Clovis West, which I guess we're just going to wait for July to get it, the kickoff. I mean,
they might want to wait until, you know, probably August, announce who they have and see how the year goes.
So we're only a few left before spring training is going to start, right? You're going to get out there and run with the boys. They got nothing.
Yep.
So we'll
find
out. Track
and field is full underway. Soccer, congratulations to the teams that are continuing in the world of soccer. Wrestling just finished up. Once again, congratulations to the Buchanan Bears. Of course, Bob Kajanian and the Road to Selland Arena. What a great group of contests.
But Bob.
What else? What's up?
Well, we got a question because I keep hearing that we're always lacking officials. What do you have for officials now?
Well, thanks for asking that question because ready for this?
I'm always ready.
All right. Well, I'm getting ready to start an officiating school through the help of Fresno Adult Education.
Nice.
We'll be running classes over at Bullard starting on March 12th from 3:30 to 5. We're going to teach people how to referee, how to get them out
sport?
To games, all sports.
All sports.
What's the number they can get a hold of you?
905-3018, 905-3018.
Area code 559 if you want to be an official. Great way to make money and gas money if you're at school. Great day. I want to thank everyone who came out here today. I want to thank your guys.
Well, Anthony, here's everyone that came to support from the Labor International Union of North America presenting to Zachary Salas. We want to thank Tate Grantham, Tate Grantham family, three-sport All-American kid candidate. Awesome job, Tate. And we'll thank everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you, Art, for coming in and giving us a little bit of insight on other things around life. I want to thank Chris Terrence. He's walking back in the studio.
Nick
Anderson.
I want to
thank
Russ back in the studio. Tony D coming up next. 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.